with me to the book of Daniel. Book of Daniel. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king, and the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be a dunghill. I'll tell you what, that's a big thing to ask out of somebody and threaten their life if they can't do it. Tell me what my dream is. I forgot what my dream was. I'm not going to tell you what I dreamed. I forgot. You tell me what I dreamed. Anybody here tell me what I dreamed last night? And tell me what it means, or I'll kill you. That's what Nebuchadnezzar said unto the astrologers and to the sorcerers and to the magicians and to the Chaldeans. Now these Chaldeans, they must have been, because I thought about this, they must have been set aside as a peculiar people among the rest of the Babylonians. Because he's calling sorcerers, magicians, philosophers, astrologers, and then the Chaldeans. So there must have been something peculiar about them. And I'm not sure exactly what it was at the time, but that'd be a good study to find out what made them stand out differently from everybody else in the kingdom of Babylon. But nobody could. He said in verse 6, but if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that ye would gain the time, because you see, the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. Now, for sake of time, I'll go on down. They said this is a rare thing that a king would require this. There's no king anywhere that would ask this out of their astrologers and, their magicians or any other Chaldean. And But the decree went forth that the men should be slain, all the wise men. So they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Why? Because they were listed among the wise men in Babylon. They hadn't come. They were not there when all of this previous was going on. The Bible said in verse 14, then Daniel answered with counsel. I'm going to stop and say this right here. I've said it before. This is the greatest way for you to ever give your answer to anything or to anybody, is to give it with counsel. That means you get much counsel before you make a decision about what you're going to do or what you're going to say. And then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom. Thank God for that. To Arioch. And this guy, it says, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He was the one put in charge to round them up and kill them. And Daniel looked him in the eye and says to Arioch, and he answered and said to Arioch, verse 15, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel, all that had happened previously. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. In other words, he wanted to slow everything down, and not so that he could come up with a plan, but that he could have time to talk to the Heavenly Father. Time to get an answer from God. You can't rush the things of God. We want to rush the things of God in this day. We want everything fast, like our fast food, fast cars, amen. We want everything in a hurry. We want it now. We don't want to wait, amen. Everything in our life is just at a fast stepping pace. And so we feel like we need to make decisions, hurry, fast. We've got to know now, got to have an answer now, got to move now, got to quit now, got to start now. Somebody needs to stop and take time, this precious time that Daniel was asking from the king. And he said this, that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You say, who's that, preacher? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. According to the Babylonians. But Daniel went to his spiritual friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. That's their real name. That's their Hebrew name. These sons of God, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. One of their prayers was, God, that the righteous don't perish with the unrighteous. You can see that all through Scripture. God doesn't want the righteous dying with the unrighteous. Amen? Being judged with the unrighteous. So he's got his godly friends and godly counsel. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Exactly what he should have done. Thank you, Lord, for the answer. Now listen, I'm going to get into the mess here in just a second. This is a man who confidently believed. Will you help me out a second, John? Come here. Sit right here. And this is your crown. You are the king of Babylon. Daniel came to him and wanted time to seek the God of heaven. Because you want to know what you dreamed and what the interpretation of that dream was. Most of us today, listen, would be wondering, how in the world are we going to figure that out? Daniel confidently knew and confidently believed that there was a God in heaven that knew exactly what was going on upstairs in that noggin. Anything that has ever happened upstairs in that head. He believed that. And he was going to go to the one that knew all things. That new man, thank you, Brother John, that God Almighty, as easily as you and I, taking a breath, was going to tell him exactly what he dreamed. Amen. Listen, you get a hold of that, that'll help your prayer life. Amen. You get a hold of that, that'll help your faith in the God of heaven. God wants us to have faith in Him today. A strong belief that there is nothing too hard for Him. And there's nothing out of God's reach. Amen. There's not a sinner He can't save. There's not a sin He can't wash away. Amen. There's not a saint too cold. God can't warm his heart. That's right. And the Lord has not given a promise that he can't fulfill. He's fulfilling them and he's going to fulfill. Amen. I bless his name today. Now thank God that Daniel knew that God, listen, revealeth the deep secrets of man, of the earth, of the universe, the secret things. What secret things soever they may be. I'm preaching about why an answer was given. Why God answered Daniel's prayer. Why God gave Daniel, Ananias, Azariah, and Mishael, why that he gave them what was going on inside of Nebuchadnezzar's dream and the meaning of it. The meaning of it. Gave him, now listen, I want to tell you something. The first thing I see is God can use an unsaved vessel. He put it in Nebuchadnezzar's mind. The whole of time. The whole of Gentile reign. Because the image and the dream that he had was of a metallic man. It was a metallic man. Made completely metal. Except when you got down to his feet. His head was of gold. And you can read that in chapter 2, right on over. You can read what that head of gold was. He gives the interpretation. He told Nebuchadnezzar, Thou art that head of gold. In other words, you and your kingdom are the head of gold. So this metallic man was a representation of every major empire from Babylon's day all the way to the end of time. To the end, let me say, the end when the Lord comes. And man's kingdoms will have no more time. Amen? And right now, you and I have time. We have time to pray. We have time to seek the Lord. Amen? We have time to go into the fields. We have time to do the will of the Lord. Amen. We have time to worship our God, to get busy for Him. We have time. And we are looking for Him to come. Him who knows all things. Now, why did God answer? God wanted to reveal that He can sometimes use an unsaved vessel. Didn't He harden Pharaoh's heart to keep the children of Israel in Egypt, causing them to pray and call upon God more? And that God would then send a plague, speaking to Pharaoh. Every plague, they said, was God, more or less, their gods that they worshiped down there. This was like a slap to that God, that your God is no good. He cannot do anything about that. Why? Because there was a holy God that was above, that was bringing in plague after plague. And then God, listen, God allowed Pharaoh to let them go. And then He went after them. God hardened His heart again. So God used that vessel. Listen, you can't tell me that the President of the United States, whoever he is, that God doesn't... The Bible says he has the heart of the king in the palm of his hand. Whether he's saved or not, God can make him do certain things. Are you listening to me? Oh, yes, He can. You see, it's God who sets up kings and pulls down kingdoms. It's the God of heaven. Listen, we'll get to that here in just a second. But God wanted to save Daniel's life and the life of his friends. You look in verse number 30, if you want to look there. He said, "But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom, that I have more than any living. But for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation of the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of the heart." In other words, he's saying that this would be, if this is answered, then they'll live. Look in verse number 18. That they would desire the mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. That's why God answered this, so that they would not. They asked that in prayer, and that's exactly what was going to happen. God was going to reveal it to them and spare their lives and keep them safe. Amen. God, of course, He desires to be magnified. When what God does it for His glory. So here Daniel's praying, and God's doing it to be magnified. Look in verse number 27. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king had demanded, cannot the wise men and the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven. I'm glad Daniel didn't say, but me and my buddies can. If that had been an average Baptist preacher today, they'd have pooched out their chest and said, we can. But Daniel said, all the rest of these men couldn't reveal it to, but there's a God in heaven. Amen. That's a good text right there. But there's a God in heaven. There's trouble coming down the pike, but there's a God in heaven. Amen. Things is looking rough, but there's a God in heaven. There's a God in heaven. Amen. That revealeth secrets, he said, and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. God did it to reveal the latter days. Revealed them not only to the king, but to Daniel and to us. What shall be in the latter days? Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. And he went into great detail. Great detail. It would have been one thing to say, I think you dreamed of a tall man. Not sure what he was doing. But he was standing before all the people, a tall man. That's got to be you, King. You're the tall man. No, that wasn't what it was. In great detail. Great detail. You read it. He talks about a head of gold, arms of silver, belly and thighs of brass. Amen. He goes right on down and says legs of iron, feet part of iron, part of clay. Who gets such detail, Brother Dave? God can. God's in the details. Do you know that? Amen. Write that one down, sis. God is in the details. God is in the details of your life and my life. You need to remember that. Amen. God's in the details. He's not only interested in the head, he's interested in the toes. He's interested in the small things as well as the big. God is in every minute detail of your life. My life. God knew. Listen, don't you know God knew that you and I would be living in the days of the feet, the part iron and part clay? Sure he did. Sure he did. Jesus lived during the days of the legs of iron. That Roman Empire. Strong as iron. Ruthless. Ruthless. You see, each metal says something else. Each one, listen, may seem more valuable than it, but it gets weaker. As you go up, weaker. Gold, it's at the top. It ain't near as strong as the silver, especially the brass or the iron. So, as history come out, kingdoms got stronger, bigger, stronger, more ruthless. They said that Babylon, there was gold everywhere. And I don't doubt it. They're sitting right in the middle of the land where over in the book of Genesis it said, a place where is much gold. Medes and the Persians. It was a split empire between two. Medo-Persian Empire. Two arms. Bible doesn't make mistakes. You can study the history of this image. It's amazing. This is world history before it happened. Can you believe that? God revealed it to them in great detail to reveal that He is sovereign over the nations. Amen? Oh yeah, look at verse number 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him." He's the one that knows it all. God revealed here that He is sovereign over all nations. You ought to underline that and never forget it. Verse 21. He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He. I believe in voting. I believe you ought to go vote. But you better believe He's the one that sets up kings. And whether you understand it or not, whether I understand it or not, you get a bad one. Sometimes you get a run of bad ones. God does all that He does for His divine purpose. The last days, listen, must be brought in just the way that God said that it would be. Amen. There's some things that's going to happen. And there has to be some things happen before them things happen. Amen? We as the church occupiedly come. Amen? Don't give up. Don't throw up your hands. Hey, we're on His side. We're on the winning side. Amen? You say, it's getting bad. I know it's getting bad, but I'm looking up. He said, when it starts getting bad, start looking up. Hey, look for Jesus. Look for Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith, your faith. Hey, the King is coming again. No matter who they set up there, we got a King that's coming again. Amen. A King of kings. Lord of lords. Amen. A God above all gods. He is none like Him. Daniel began to praise Him. Amen. Amen. Well, I thank God for His help this morning. God demonstrates to man very quickly that His hand guides and forms these governments. Amen. To prove that God is infinite in His knowledge and wisdom. Amen. To make it clear that God is the author of prophecy. Again, those details. Read from verse 23. Down through about verse 45 or 46. And you'll see God giving great detail. Great detail. Verse 37, he said, "Thou, O king, art a king of kings. For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom." God gave him that kingdom. He's not saved. He's lost. And then God used him to go get his people, the Israelites, because they had rebelled against God and turned against God and sought idols and false gods. And so God used a king that he set up in Babylon to go and bring his people into slavery. Why? So that they'd call on the name of God again. He said, "And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beast of the field and the fowl of the heaven, hath he given into thine hand." He's telling Nebuchadnezzar this. "Hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. After thee shall rise another kingdom inferior to thee. And another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And a fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. Whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it of the strength of the iron. For as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, and as the toes of the feet were part of the iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom." In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. Perk ears up, church. "Which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." "For as much as thou sawest the stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands, that it break in pieces the iron, brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king that shall come to pass, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure." If you believe the Bible, if you believe in history, you can see every one of those kingdoms came along in the exact order that God showed Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar that they would come. One right after the other. It's sure to happen. See, the one thing I didn't talk about, I'm waiting right here for the end. Not only did he dream of that metallic man, he saw a stone hewn out of the mountain come rolling down, and it ran slap over that metallic man. Every one of those kingdoms flattened it. And it was there. You know who stone is, don't you? There ain't but one that's always been referred to as the stone, the rock. And this is his kingdom. This is his kingdom. I'm going to read this and I'm done. Verse 46, then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshiped Daniel, commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many gifts, made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Even in their bondage, listen, God took them that took time to seek the Lord. Daniel and his three companions, and set them up over everybody. Why did God answer Daniel? To show what would be, to show who God is, to show His power, to show His knowledge, to show that God knows everything. God knows what's going on right up here. Amen. I want you to stand. God knows if you're His. The Bible said the Lord knoweth them that are His.